I think you go there to meet your lover, that worthless, good for nothing tobacco peaker.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. Today, we are talking about Lucy Writes a Play. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm your host, Ziva.
And this one was written aired February 4th, 1952, directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll. And the synopsis is playwright Lucy pens a drama, and she wants, well, she assumes with Ricky, you know, being in the title role, kind of inspires by a Cuban story, but he refuses to be in it. She changes it to British. And then he changes his mind and he has the wrong script and all heck breaks loose in between. That's the synopsis of the episode.
Things go crazy.
Things go insane. Absolutely.
That could be, I feel like that could be our synopsis for every single one. Things go crazy.
Yeah, really.
And
Lucy makes Ricky upset. Things go crazy. Thank you.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't even blame this one on Lucy.
This one was like, a little
when you were watching this one, you know, you're like, well, this isn't even her fault, so we'll get to that as time goes on. But okay, so this episode is partially based on the radio show My Favorite Husband, as we've talked about, but this one is called Liz. The episode it's based off of is Liz Substitutes in a Club Play. It aired January 6, 1951. So, and then I guess this name, the name of the substitutes club play, they were in a contest for the Young Matrons League, and that would inspire the Society Matrons League in Pioneer Women, which is episode one, or episode 25 of season one, which we'll get to at some point.
Yeah, and this, the radio episode one had a guest star of Mary Shipp, who was the second wife of Harry Ackerman, CBS executive, who did a cameo in the audition and was mentioned in the dialogue of Charm School. So I always love when, you know, we find out this information and they're all kind of intertwined some way, either because they work for CBS, they're married to someone who works CBS, or part of the My Favorite Husband. Just, they're always mixed in. Everybody knows everybody.
I just found out that, and I don't know why it did not occur to me, but I just found out that, oh my gosh, Katie, Liz Cooper's maid, plays in, now I'll have to find out who she is, because I cannot remember the name of the woman who plays Katie, but she also plays in a few of I Love Lucy, I believe. She comes in and guest stars, or has like background appearances, and I think that's really great.
From the My Favorite Husband?
Yeah.
So this one, the title of the play that she, you know, writes for her club is, of course, inspired by A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. She calls it A Tree Grows in Havana, of course, inspired by her husband. In A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is a book and film in the mid 40s. There was even a Broadway musical of the same title starring Shirley Booth. That closed a couple of weeks before the episode film. Now, what I like when it first opens, I'll pay attention to Lucy's outfits, and I like what she's wearing. She's got like this kind of a fluffy white shirt and a very skinny tie. I don't know if that's just to give you the vibe that she's a writer. Right. Yeah. Yes. Or just because it's a cute outfit, but I did write that out because it was
also
stood out to me.
Yeah. The first thing I wrote in the notes when I started watching it was that, like, right off the bat, we get to see a look at Lucy's physical comedy again.
Definitely. And I did write that out.
I should have seen how many seconds, because I know it seems silly, but like 50 seconds of doing something in a show takes out a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is a lot of time if you only have a 25 minute episode, and she is miming and like performing for quite a while.
That's
in the beginning.
Most definitely what Lucy is known, Lucille Ball is known for. Now, they call her, you know, the best comedian and all of that, but she's not really a joke teller. She's not, you know, she's more physical comedy, making you laugh with the faces she makes. And this is really an example of that. And before I
watch a whole episode of just her.
Oh, yeah. The maid, Katie, is played by Ruth Perrow. or parrot. P-E-R-R-O-T-T. So it's either Perro or Parrot. But that's who Katie was. What's that? Parrot. But yeah, you're right. So she's acting it out. Ricky comes in and she's oblivious to, you know, what he's even talking about. So she's pretending to have a sword. She falls over the couch. She's got her legs up in the air. Like she was just, you know, killed. And
I love how Ricky just watches it. He's just like, okay. And until she dies, he doesn't say anything.
I know that look. My husband gives me that look. Not that I do any sort of physical comedy, but just random things that don't make sense. He's just like, huh, trying to figure you out. What's happening here?
What is going on?
And one of the bloopers at the beginning of this is that Lucy had just finished her play, but a few minutes later when Ethel shows up, she suddenly has two copies of it. So it's just,
oh yeah, because she just pulls one out, right? And then she has another one.
You skipped over how she got her up there in the first place.
Oh, like,
she's knocking on the ground, she's kicking the floor to get her up there. Yeah,
I'd like to say that I've taught my son that, so it's very nice. I can do the do-do-do-do-do in Hogo. Do-do.
So her outfit is that of a Spanish señora. And what I think is like they took every single stereotype and just threw it on. Just
threw it all on her. Yeah. What is on her face?
Oh, I think it's supposed to be some sort of birthmark or a mole or some kind of, maybe they took inspiration from somebody who has that look and just thought, let's just throw it up there. I don't know. It was unnecessary.
It was. I was like, it looks like they tried to bedazzle her face.
And she has sort of like a veil type lacy black thing on her head. And then maybe like a shawl or maybe like some sort of robes.
Rug.
It
looks like a rug. It looks like the same thing she wore when she was doing the Ethel to Telly.
Oh, yes. Telly. Yes, you're right. Oh, like I know. We should have compared the looks. You're right. It's probably the exact same thing.
Instagram. That's what we can do.
Remember when they pretend to have Lucy gets a haircut. And they pretend to have the dates with the boys. And Ethel's got this outfit. I don't know if part of it is, you look like an ad for a trip around the world.
Why does she get to look so amazing? Lucy always gets to look so amazing. And Ethel looks like...
Because if we were awful. To base it on the movie we just saw, Lucy always wanted to keep her look.
Nope. Okay.
Anyway, so Lucy says, you know, when she's trying to explain to Ricky what she's doing, she wants to become the next Tennessee Ernie, which, of course, Ricky says, you mean Tennessee Williams, and Tennessee Ernie Ford would, of course, then later make guest appearances as Cousin Ernie on the show.
Yes. Cousin Ernie.
Yeah.
And then... Let's see. There was a lot of mentions before we go. So the costume, she was humming the habanera. Is that how you say it?
Habanera.
From Carmen. Yeah. It's a 4-act French opera. This is what she's humming like as she comes off to show off her costume. And the habanera means music or dance from Havana, which is, you know, where Ricky's from. So that's kind of cool. There in the notes, I have all like some of the lines, but we'll go over those when we actually get to them.
With the stereotypical accent that they're trying to pull off. I'm not sure what they were doing there, but so she calls her, Ricky says, this is Rhode Island Red is what he calls Lucy. And she suggests that Ricky plays the lead just in the meantime, until we can find, you know, someone else. And of course, the storyline is that of a Cuban tobacco picker who falls in love with the farmer's daughter or the rancher's daughter?
The rancher's daughter,
And of course, that's inspired by Ricky. If you want to, he's trying to say, who is this inspired by? And she says, guess, right? And so he throws off a few names, one of them being John Charles. Yeah. John Charles Thomas, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Lassie.
Lassie.
Yeah. Do you have information on them?
Yeah, Sir Charles Thomas lived from 1891 to 1960. He was a popular operatic baritone and a recording artist. And in the operetta, Ricky is referred to as John Charles Ricardo. So kind of a throw forward, I guess, because mm-hmm. they're not, they haven't done it yet. And then Sir Cedric Hardwicke, 1893 to 1964. He was an English character actor. He had stage and screen career that spanned more than 5 decades. He appeared in Lucille Ball in The Valley of the Sun and Lurid. Okay. And then Lassie, as we all know, mm-hmm. is a dog. People used to call me Lassie.
Why is that? It
sounds so similar to Lucy.
Oh, I'm like, why?
After starring on the films and the TV series Lassie, this is an adventurous collie dog. It was on screen from 1954 to 1971. Lassie's mentioned again in I Love Lucy and The Young Fans, and then also in The Lucy Show and Here's Lucy. And the dog makes a special appearance on the Desilu Review in 1959. So oh, nice. They obviously liked Lassie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And but who couldn't? Lassie's cute.
As you said, you know, some of the lines that, you know, she's trying to
we
pull
can go over this yes. now. Because
So Ethel, she's reading from Lucy's script, who, by the way, just did perhaps appears to have just done run-on sentences with stage
yeah, she
directions.
Said she did
and
this
all.
In 2 hours, right? So like, not super fast.
And you look very pretty, Lucita. Your hair is shining. Your eyes are bright, and your nose is continued on the next page.
Yes, but even okay. Before that, she says, "My bean, Lucita."
Oh, my bean, Lucita. Yeah. Oh man.
And I love how Lucy just expects Ethel to like understand.
Yeah.
Like when she's like, "That's nice." And Lucy's like, That's nice. It's not a question.
There's a question mark here.
And I think you go there to meet your liver.
Lover. I think
what is that accent? Because I feel like that's totally like a
it's nothing.
I feel like it's a Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Like that Spanish, what American people think Spanish people sound like.
Yeah, Mexican
accent.
People, Spanish people, or any other type of Latin American, you know, accent, what they think they sound like is all squished into whatever Ethel just did.
yeah, but Ethel's doing it, Lucy's doing it, they're all doing it because even Lucy's, you know.
And I'm surprised they didn't try to kind of copy Ricky's accent because they have access to the accent all day, every day. Instead, yeah, it sounds like they're doing a, like you said, a Speedy Gonzalez type thing.
I think, and this is just me playing devil's advocate, right? But Ricky is thinking of how bad this play is going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they might have been trying to really push the...
How bad it is.
How bad it is. So not only does it read bad, but it also sounds bad when they're doing it. And I think that they
this just kind of goes along with the theme that the whole thing is bad. And so she says, "I think you go there to meet your lover, that worthless, good for nothing tobacco peaker." Not picker, but peaker.
Peaker.
Oh my gosh.
And then of course, Ricky, you know, "I'm sorry to hear you don't feel well, Mamacita." And then he's like, "Are you having trouble with your lover?"
The liver. Although in reality, I know he got the word wrong. Well, she got the word wrong and he was just reading it. But why would you ask someone if they're having trouble with their liver? Not lover.
Maybe
but...
she has liver problems. I don't know. Maybe it's well established in their family that she has liver.
She
problems.
Has liver
I
issues.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't look into her history.
So now we get to the realization. Ricky gets the realization, right, that this is very much based on him. And the first point, I mean, tobacco picker falling in love with a plantation.
Cuban.
I mean, gets that Cuban.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, we get to hear the dunt
I love that. That is one of my most favorite thing is that it's actually written out.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that was a typographical error. She's like, there were so many others, right? Yeah. You know, but then, of course, Ricky, as he continues to read, he's like, someday I'll become famous by singing a song called Babaloo. And then he's like, who is this person?
It's such a beautiful song, Babaloo. She's trying to distract that she just made it totally about him. And so he goes into the room, of course, very offended or something, but he does not want to take any part in this ridiculous women's club play later.
Like you said, he has the idea that it's quite bad in general. So
it will ruin his reputation, of course.
Yes. So we've got the next part of this episode then is basically Lucy trying to find someone to take Ricky's place. She calls a bunch of people and, you know, finds out that they won't star actors won't act without money.
They want to be paid. Turns out actors want to be paid.
And so of course Ethel suggests Fred. Now I have to wonder if she got something out of it.
Like a purse, like she did that
when she did the hat. Yeah. And so like I just feel like,
although they didn't establish that, they didn't point that out, but and then Lucy, of course, says, why are you always trying to foist Fat Freddy on me? Foist.
Yeah, foist. Guys, if you don't know specifically what that means, I looked it up for you. It means impose an unwelcome or unnecessary person or thing on you. Now, foist. That is like such a strong...
Well, she has a point. Every time they want to do something and she wants to just make something grand, it's always Fred. It's just always suggested to be Fred.
But who else do they have, right? Like, I don't know.
Ricky will do it. So he's dressed up. What is he dressed up as? Because it looks kind of like a French...
Matador?
Matador?
Is he trying to do like a matador type? Because that's what when I saw him, that's kind of hat. What I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe he's trying to go for that. It obviously doesn't work. And they realize really quickly that it's not going to work. Not only because now they have three white people trying to be Spanish, but.
Are you saying that he doesn't remind you of a Cuban tobacco picker?
No, not at all. Okay,
all right. And
so they decide to change it. Mm-hmm. Now this is where, you know, at the beginning, like this problem wasn't caused by Lucy. And you see, you know, maybe she shouldn't have spoken up and said that she was going to get Ricky to be part of this play. Okay.
Yeah, because so if
she did wrong there, right? Mm-hmm. But she figured it out.
Yeah.
It would have been the end of that because she found someone else. She rewrote the play to be
British.
Very British.
Righto.
What's the matter, Mata?
What's the matter, Peter? Mata. And so she, you know, like you said, they all do better British accents than they do Cuban accents. So
right.
And they're all white.
You know, more believable.
Yeah. So they can all get away with that. And afterwards they're ready to put on this play in a British tone. Now, the next scene, of course, is Fred trying to, you know, remember his lines and stuff. And notice,
this is a good tidbit. Go ahead.
He does. Ahead. You know, he's kind of reading. I think it's going to be some dust on the script or something. And he kind of shoos it away. And it's this louse. And it's supposed to be Louise, which is William Frawley's only time he ever got married, his wife's name with Louise. So I wonder if it was just a nod to her, just a coincidence. But Ricky,
they were in Frawley and Louise.
Yes.
And I don't know that it would have been a coincidence because the middle name, one of the three of middle Ethel's. Names of Ethel's is yes. Louise as well. So I feel like maybe they put that third one in to try to make them like each other more.
Maybe. And so he comes in, Ricky does, while he's in the middle of this because he wants to see if he can go to the fights with him. And, you know, because Lucy's going to be in that stupid play. First of all, can we just take a second to ask why is does he feel a need to insult the woman's play? If you're not going to be in it, just don't be in it. But to go out of his way to insult the play was just
right. It was okay. So this might be a mean question.
Okay.
Or I might get some hate for this, and okay. I don't apologize. I stand
happenablepod at gmail.com.
Do you find Ricky's laugh annoying?
Okay. here's
is
the thing.
Is that his real laugh?
That's absolutely his real laugh. As any Lucy fan has heard him in the past, in the background.
In the background.
That's just naturally him. I don't think he's putting it on. Now, this particular
maybe
scene.
Extra?
Yes. Extra.
Because this one, normally it doesn't bother me, but this one really bothered me. So
I think it kind of reminds me of, have you seen Modern Family? Okay. Well, there's an actress named Sofia Vergara, right? And she naturally has a very thick accent. She can't help it. She just has it. But on the show, I am convinced that she overdoes it to make herself very Colombian. To point real, you know, she's married to Ed O'Neill, a white man. So to really point out that she is Colombian. And the laugh is really, really loud and big. So I think in this particular scene with the slamming of the table, his hand, you know, it was just a little forced. Like he wasn't naturally laughing, but this was called for a laugh. So he needed to overdo it. And yeah, that one was a little annoying.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Can we go back real quick? Because I forgot to mention something.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ricky first sees Ethel in her dress costume,
the mamacita,
he says she looks like the Bride of Frankenstein, who's played by Elsa Lancaster. She played the bride in the 1935 film, and you see her again,
yes,
in Off to Florida, which is one of. It's not, I don't know if it's one of my favorite, but I really like that.
Yeah.
Episode. And she does such a good job in that. And then we did talk a little bit about Tennessee Ernie Ford. He mm-hmm. also comes on in Here's Lucy. He's on a few of those as well. So just wanted to get that back.
So then when they're at the Fred's apartment, you know, Ricky, old pal, old friend, old buddy.
Old buddy.
He doesn't want to let, you know, Fred, like kind of questioning, why would you do something like this? And of course, the game changer of everything is that there's going to be a very famous Hollywood director or producer. I think it's a producer coming to watch this, which, by the way, I'm wondering, just an aside, why that would happen. You know, a woman.
There's lots of different play. So it sounds like, you know, each woman's thing club. Puts on one, so maybe it's just like a little
they're looking for something, maybe ideas,
like an act or something, maybe an idea, you know.
And but, so they say it's going to be seen by Daryl B. Mayer, which of course is a mashup of the names of Daryl Zanuck of Warner Brothers and Louis B. Mayer, you know, the big gun of MGM. And Louis B. Mayer, whose name was not that when he was born, I think it was Laser Mirror. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but he's Canadian American film producer and co-founder of Metro Golden Mayer Studios in 1924. And under his management, because he played a big part in Lucille Ball's career, MGM became the film industry's most prestigious movie studio, accumulating the largest concentrations of leading writers, directors, and stars in Hollywood, even to this day. And Lucy did do some films for MGM as well. Lucille Ball.
Not Lucy Ricardo.
No, she did not. She wrote plays like this.
This is definitely Ricky's fault because he really wants to be part of the play, and because, you know, he wants
to be seen.
To be seen, right? Mm-hmm. And he hopes to go on to Hollywood. And so Fred tries to hand him the script, right? Now, I feel like part of this is most definitely Ricky getting, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm getting the names messed up. Fred getting back at Ricky for taking the part from him, because as soon as Ricky says, I have one of my own, Fred's like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like he knew, you know, because he knew that Ricky would have had the one that was.
So you think he was sabotaging the situation?
I think so.
Okay.
I could be
interesting.
Wrong.
Interesting. I never even thought about that. Like, you're right.
You would think that Fred would go, well, Ricky would have gotten the one that is in Spanish. And because he didn't know about the switch.
Right.
You know, and he didn't push it at all. He's like, oh, okay. And then just let it be. You know, he wasn't like.
And he did point out that he said, don't tell Lucy I'm trying to get in. Because I was about to say, well, he assumes Lucy will give him a copy. But he does make it a point to say, don't tell her that I'm doing this. And he's like, oh, so you are trying to get in on her play.
Mm-hmm.
And then again,
maybe says, I'm just being, I have a sneaky mind.
But... Ricky, old pal, old friend, old buddy, I'm not going to let you do it because he's got such a big name to protect, right? And here's where Ricky's ego comes in and he says, well, Fred, you're forgetting with me in it. Yeah. How could it possibly be a flop? Oh, my God. And he's like,
well, we'll see how, huh?
I didn't think about that. So, of course, the next scene is that very dramatic singing that Ethel does as Mamacita. You know, her voice gets growl. You know, she growls when she's singing this. What did you call it? Habanera song. And so she's rocking in her chair back and forth. What I love is that behind them, the the scenes, they're so obviously fake. It's hilarious.
Well, wait, you skipped the. Because they do the British one first. Before we get to their play, we should talk about the chairwoman of the Wednesday Afternoon Fine Arts League.
Miss Mitchell.
Played by Myra Marsh.
Mm-hmm. Miss Mitchell, yes.
She also comes in and does a pretty similar, she reprises her role in the operetta. Is woman who comes up with the, you know, the goatee and stuff.
She just loves being in the center of attention for the moment, being the MC. Yes,
of course, yeah. She when she stalls, in that one, she sings the song of Hiawatha.
Hiawatha. Yeah, Hiawatha.
Hiawatha.
And we do hear that one.
Yes, but in this one, she recites a poem that she just so happens to have. but anyways, we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, when they start off, they're in their British costumes. I love how
the perils of Pamela. Is the name of the
Perils of Pamela. Yeah. Lucy can't open the door because she's obviously trying the wrong way. And so she like breaks it down and then finally just cuts open.
she's got like the sword. Like,
if that's not any indication of how this is gonna go. But the way that Pamela is dressed, it's a riding costume, which I've always thought riding costumes are just so elegant,
very pretty. Like, we see that.
I just want to ride just so I can wear a riding costume.
When they go to when they go to London or when they go to England, and she does the foxhound, you know, the riding of the foxhounds, she's dressed like that, and it's just beautiful. It's a really, and it's a very film, elegant Mame. Yeah. Yeah, I do love those outfits. They're very classy looking and very feminine at the same time, even though they have like a little tux top and the pants and the boots.
They start it's not great, but they've got a rhythm, right? I love how they are fake leaning against like the chair.
I wrote that down. On the mantle. She's got her arm on the mantle. It looks so uncomfortable because she's got her hand Ethel like
does such a good job too, like leaning in the corner. It looks like she's okay. And so this is when Ricky barges in as Spanish. Oh. No, see, I think that they could have just kept going, right, and pretended like
but he was so loud and so boisterous about it that they couldn't. And of course, you know, they're trying to kind of play it off and they're like, oh good show, and then someone in the audience, I think it stinks.
It must have been fun to just yell that from them. But so that that's when they're like, okay, close the curtains, you know, we'll try to stall. And lack of communication
again,
because Ricky thinks that they're going back to the old or the new script. He thinks he's going to the new script. The girls are going back to the old script. We get to see Maureen Hobson, for a little bit. He's mm-hmm. the show script supervisor and camera coordinator. Mm-hmm. And he worked behind the scenes of the I Love Lucy show. He is the stage manager that talks to
the Myra Marsh. Yes.
And that's when he's like, oh, I just so happened to have a poem. And he rolls his eyes. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you just so happened to have it. She was hoping something would go wrong, right? So she could read her poem.
Have the opportunity to read it. And I love the way that they're trying to get her attention. They're, you know, tapping on her shoulder like, okay, you're done. Come on. You're done. You're done. And
just we're good. We're good.
Roll her wrist.
Put her back. Yeah. So they started again. And that's where she's singing.
Yeah, the Mamacita is rocking back and forth. You're right. I did rush right through the British play the first time.
Because it wasn't that memorable.
Yeah.
And of course, in comes Ricky again, just in the opposite
British outfit.
He's now a British outfit and he's dancing. I was like, what are you doing? You're just being so extra. And they finally, I love how at the end, you kind of see, like, they're all sitting there bewildered, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of see Ethel get up and, like, start to attack him. She gets so mad at the very end.
So upset.
As it's, like, closing in. She's like.
It was very frustrating. The theme of this entire thing was lack of communication. I mean, first of all, how dare you want to be part of it now that you the big wig is coming to check us out?
Oh, so only
you're sabotaging the play. And but not that it was a great play. It's a very short play. I don't understand where this was going. Maybe
they were supposed to just be like one act plays, you know, because if they're going to be watching a bunch of them, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the last one was about knitting. So,
yeah.
So I don't know that I'd want to sit through a whole lot of amateur plays that were super long. That's an end note, I guess. This isn't the last time that Lucy's going to write. She writes The Pleasant Peasant, which I love.
That is one of the best ones, yeah.
You know, and okay, I know she didn't write it. Obviously, the writers wrote it.
Right.
And I know that there's a lot of other grief going on, but the songs are actually pretty all right. And like,
for they're an amateur great. Writer, oh yeah, my gosh. Some of the songs are great. Very catchy.
The one that I'm thinking about, like the I Am the Good Prince Lancelot. Okay, it's like, all right, that is a bit.
It's a little corny. But
like the one Ethel has and the one I am
the queen
has.
Of the gypsies.
Gypsies.
Or when they don't let
singing in the back. Yeah.
They don't let Lucy sing. Everyone, oh my God, I can't wait till we get to this.
We'll get to that. But yes. And then Lucy writes a novel. She writes
that's right.
About the real Gone with the Wind. It's about her life. This is where everyone's trying to look. And in that one, she's also in a very similar, I think it's like their, this is what writers wear.
Oh,
so maybe I should try to dress like that next time I start writing. Maybe
a little skinny tie?
Me.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be help me get the
famous
writer
playwright.
Flow.
There you go. Throw on a skinny tie and glasses. I do love the glasses. She does wear, I've seen that photo. You know, she's always at her desk. She's very studious looking, but.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are great. I didn't realize how many are similar. Yeah. That one was fun. Only because
we were talking about how it seemed very fast.
It did.
You know, we watched it and all of a sudden it started and it like ended. And I think it could have gone on, you know, I know that they
a little more of
the
play.
They didn't really do extended, you know, episodes. Now mm-hmm. you get seasons where there's, you know, the finale or something.
Oh yeah.
Random really big episodes are longer, but this they didn't have that back then, and this honestly wouldn't have really needed.
Yeah, it kind of felt like the writers
they did try to put a big thing into, you know, at least with the operetta we saw a good portion
the
of
production.
The operetta, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A huge production. I think perhaps the writers, I'm sure there was, if you can go back in time, there was probably a big chunk of, you know, on the cutting room floor of,
oh yeah.
Of scripts that was not used
like
for this
20
one.
Pages or
and
more.
They wrote out the actual play scene one, scene two. It's like, we only have 26 minutes to fill, you know? This one felt like it was a lot in a few minutes and it went by really fast, but this was fun. So unless you want to add anything else.
No.
Okay.
It was a good one where I didn't feel like I needed to jump on any soapboxes. So I don't have the energy today to do that. So,
so find us on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube and Facebook, and our email. I'm going to give them the email. Having a ball podcast at gmail.com.
I think we need to leave mine in there too, though. But now you heard the second one, so now you know for sure.
No. I'm leaving yours in there just because this is what you get when you come here. So please keep coming back.
This is why people come. They come for our goofs and our very obvious mess ups.
Thanks, guys.
Stupid. No.
This is why we don't rate them. What?
Okay, goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.